Everyone has notes? Let's begin. We are in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6. We'll be doing verse 6 and 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So, just to have some background before we go in these particular verses, if you remember in Galatians, the Apostle Paul is specifically dealing with false teaching in the church. Okay, false teaching in the church. And we see that in many books in the Bible, that false teaching was dealt with very severely and very specifically by the apostles, okay, and by the teachers in those times. And something which maybe in this day and age people don't realize how important it is, but in the Bible it is considered a very, very serious thing if the church falls into error. Okay, and I was reading this passage in Titus chapter 1, and I think this passage really gives us an idea of how much emphasis was put on teaching the truth. Okay, it was very, very important in the early church, and especially for the apostles, it was extremely important that the truth would be proclaimed in the church. So, when we go into Galatians and we read that Paul going into so much of details and making sure that the truth is being proclaimed in the church, this passage gives us an idea why. It says in verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful words." This is talking about the qualification of the bishop in the church. So he should holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. So even in this book, we see that the false brethren were those who were from the Jewish background, from the circumcision. And verse 11, "whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." Verse 12, "one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." Verse 14, "not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." So we see here that Paul the Apostle is saying, I want you to rebuke them sharply. Now, and we will see in the book of Galatians, there are many sharp rebukes, okay, to the false teachers, and also many in the church itself who are being led away into false teaching. So false teaching should be dealt with very specifically and very clearly in the church. You know, and maybe in this day and age, this is not thought of as being so important, and people take it lightly. But we don't see that in the life of the apostle and the early church. So in the book of Galatians, we started with verse 1, where they were going away from the truth. They were not obeying the truth. Let me read those verses in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Okay. So what truth they were not obeying? I think we can go back to Galatians 2:16, where justification is something that they were not obeying and understanding properly. Okay, in verse 16, "knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So, one of the main things that they were going away from was that they were not living a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? The life of faith that Jesus taught and Jesus commanded to the early church. They were not going in that direction, but they were going back to the old traditions that they were taught as Jewish believers. Okay, and they were doing that because they were taught that this is what will save you. This also, you have to keep the laws of Moses, and you have to live like a Jew lived before the commandments and before the revelation of Jesus Christ came. So they were, in verse 1, they were not obeying the truth. And then in verse 3, he starts giving them the reason of how they have being strayed, they are not being obeying the truth. One of the argument he says is that when they did not receive the Spirit by believing this message that they are now going after, which is the laws of Moses. Okay, that's in verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? So one of the first argument he gives is, you did not receive the Holy Spirit. You did not receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you did not become part of this church, part of the church of Jesus Christ by living the lifestyle of the lifestyle under the Mosaic commands. Okay, you did not receive the blessing of the Spirit because of that. So naturally, that is not the truth then. You received the Spirit because you believed in the message of Jesus Christ, and then you were baptized in Jesus Christ, and that is how you received the truth. That is how you received the gospel, and that is how you received the Holy Spirit. So now, how can that be the truth, which did not give you the Holy Spirit in the first place? Then from verse 16 onwards, he gives the second argument of how they are not obeying the truth. Okay, so in verse 6 it says, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he gives the second way of proving his point, that the law is not the foundation and the law is not the truth of the gospel. He gives them the example of Abraham. Okay, even as Abraham. So Abraham is a very, very important, the gospel of the message of Abraham and the testimony of Abraham in the scriptures is extremely important. Okay, so in this book itself, you know, more than about 9 times Abraham is mentioned in the book of Galatians, and all through the scriptures, it's almost 300 times the name Abraham occurs. Almost 300 times. So Abraham is very important. And I think the main reason, one of the main reason he goes back to Abraham, is because the gospel was first preached to Abraham. Okay, he's the foundation. The gospel, meaning the gospel that we also now believe, and we also are trying to live by, the same gospel was preached to Abraham. Though now we have more revelation in the gospel, and we have more specific understanding of this gospel. But you know, this gospel was first preached to Abraham, because the gospel that was preached to Abraham had inheritance in it, the land in it, the promised land. The gospel had about the seed which will inherit the land, and that is Jesus Christ. The gospel had about his sons. Not only he himself, but he will have other sons who will inherit with him. So the gospel was preached to Abraham. And you know, that's the reason this message, that's the reason he's bringing up Abraham. So he's going to say, Abraham was not justified, and Abraham is not going to inherit the kingdom because he kept the laws of Moses. Because, of course, the laws was not given at that time. But Abraham will inherit that kingdom, and Abraham will be justified because he lived by faith. Because he lived by faith. You know, so faith is the key. Faith is the key if we are to inherit the coming kingdom. Okay, faith is the key. So what was faith? Faith that was delivered to Abraham, we'll read those passages later. But the law which was given later by Moses cannot replace faith that was first preached to Abraham. So what was first preached to Abraham? This verse in Galatians chapter 3 verse 6, where it says, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now this occurs in Galatians chapter 15 verse 6. It says, and he believed in the Lord and he counted to him for righteousness. So this Galatians is a quote from Genesis chapter 15 verse 6. So what did Abraham believe? It is very important to read Genesis 15 verse 1 and every time where God is speaking to Abraham. You know, some teachers I have heard that they will just jump to say that Abraham believed in God and he was justified. Just like we believe in Jesus Christ one time and then righteousness is accounted unto him. I have heard teachers say that just like we believe on Jesus Christ and we are counted as righteousness, the same way Abraham believed in God and boom, he was righteous. That's what the teacher said. This is exactly his words. But we have to go to Galatians 15 verses 1 to 6, right? It will tell us what he believed. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one that is born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall be thine heir, for this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. So this is the first time it appears here that it was counted unto him for righteousness. And there are, you know, a couple of more places where the same phrase appears. Okay, so we have to read all those passages to see exactly what Abraham believed on, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So we see here that Abraham believed in the promise of God. You know, God promised him, first of all, that he should not live in fear, and that God, that he himself, God will reward him greatly. Okay, that was the first message in verse 1. And you know, this is faith. This is faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith was preached to Abraham that he should now live by trusting and believing in the true God. That he should not fear. And we know that fear is the opposite of faith, right? When we are not in living by faith, we are fearful. Okay, the only fear that we should have is the fear of God, right? But we fear so many other things in life, and those things that we fear is not of faith. You know, we are not trusting God. We are not believing in him. That is not living by faith. So this is how God preached faith to Abraham. God told Abraham that I want you to live in a certain way. And that is, you believe in me, you don't live in fear, and that I will reward you. I will reward you. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. Gospel is, if we live in faith and obedience to God the best we can, God will reward us. Right, if we can summarize this, summarize the message of God, is that if we live in obedience and if we know, we understand his commandments, we believe his commandments and we walk in them, then God will reward us. And then God promised him a son, and of course that son would be a special son, and that is Isaac. Okay, so God told him that this man Eliezer is not your heir, but someone that will come out of you is going to be your heir. So Abraham, by sight. He was very old. He was almost 100 years old. And he, this was impossible, right? But Abraham believed in this message. And that means that he trusted and he knew that this is going to happen. Okay, so these words to Abraham was not just some good things that he heard, right? And then he went on living his life in the natural way. But you know, these promises became part of Abraham, and he lived as if God was going to fulfill this promise. So he did not take it as in a casual way. And that is faith. You know, that faith is when we have been revealed the promises of God, it should change our life. You know, just like it changed Abraham's life. So he did not take it in a casual way. Many times we see people say, okay, I believe in God, right? I believe in God. But they never first try to find out what God is saying. So without first knowing, you know, the promises of God, without first knowing what God is telling me, how can I have faith? Like Abraham just didn't say, okay, I believe in God. First, Abraham heard a message, specific message. And then on that message, he believed, and then he lived accordingly. So that is faith. Okay, faith is just not saying, I believe in God. And I add anything to that, right? I believe in God and God will make everything nice or things like that. Many people have that kind of faith, though it sounds very weird. People think that believing in God is just that. Okay, I believe in God. You know, God will take care of me and God will make everything nice. But that is not faith. That is like making God an idol, right? God is not an idol, right? That He will do what I think God He should do. So first, we have to know. My point is, first we have to know the truth. You know, and that is the reason I think Paul is so strong on emphasizing truth in the church. Because if we don't have truth, we cannot have the true faith. It's impossible. In Acts chapter 27 verse 25, we again see an example of what it means to believe in God. In this verse, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. This is a very good example of understanding what it means to believe in God. Paul was on a ship and the entire ship was going to sink, okay, because of a great storm. It was impossible, almost by sight, that they would survive that storm. And everyone on the ship was panicking. But Paul was revealed that God told him that you will not die. And because of you, I have spared everyone else's life on this ship. So what was Paul's reaction? He was of good cheer. You know, I think this was not easy. Imagine like a ship being tossed to and fro, you know, in the middle of a sea. I mean, there's no way anyone would think that you're going to survive that. But because of God, because God revealed this message to Paul, he reacted in a different way. You know, he reacted in a different way. And that is faith. That is faith. If I have faith, I will not be reacting to circumstances in a, you know, just reacting to circumstances. You know, faith does not react to circumstances. It lives in anticipation, in one way. It lives in prediction. Like, this is what's going to happen. So this is how I am going to behave. It does not react to the circumstances. That is a natural way of life. Okay, that is a natural way of life. But the life of faith is not a life of a reaction-based life. It's a life of look of anticipation for the future. So that's how Paul was. He was of good cheer because he knew he is going to be alive. He's going to be alive. He's going to survive this storm. And that is faith. That's how Abraham, that is what Abraham had. And Romans 4 verse 13 defines for us exactly what was promised to him. Though in this passage, it is talking about him having a son and him having an heir. In Romans 4 verse 13, he and his heirs would rule the world, would be the heirs of this world. In Romans 4 verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So Abraham was given this promise that he will be the heir of the coming kingdom. Okay, though it does not, though he may not have understood everything at this stage, but we know in Hebrews chapter 11, he understood that he is not going to inherit in this life when he is alive, that he, God will have to raise him up from the dead to fulfill the promise. So this verse in Romans 4 verse 13 is very important to understand what was promised to Abraham. Abraham was promised in one sense resurrection, right? He was promised life in the coming kingdom where he, with his heirs, that is his children, which are not only his physical seed, but also the seed which are his children through faith, he and all his children will rule in the coming kingdom. This was promised to Abraham. So this verse is important. It has promise, it has righteousness, it has faith. In Romans 4 verse 18 onwards, we again understand what Abraham's faith was. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was promised, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. So we see here clearly that this is not just a one-time, you know, believing, oh, okay, that's a good, well, I believe in God. Like, this is a very, very loaded passage of a man who is convinced that God is going to fulfill the impossible. Right? God is going to fulfill the impossible. I mean, look at how great his faith was. You know, we sometimes don't even show faith in the possible things, right, that God can do. It's like, it was so easy. Like, he believed in something which was impossible. He cannot have any children, neither his wife can have any children, but you know, he believed that this is going to happen. And he lived a life of faith. And we see all through his life, he built altars, he called on the Lord. He did not live for this world. He loved the brethren. He always showed kindness and he ministered to Lot in so many ways. Like, he was so faithful. Why? Because he believed in the promises of God. He wanted to inherit the coming kingdom. So faith is not, you know, a casual saying that I believe, but it is a persuasion. And you know, when someone is persuaded of something, you will see it. And God, of course, will see it. But when I am persuaded of something, you know, that will be seen in my life. Absolutely. But if I am not, then it will not be seen. You know, and that is not the faith that pleases God. But God, this is the faith that Abraham had. And this is what will give us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know, Christians are so misled by thinking that faith is something like easy thing. Okay, the law was a tough thing, but now faith is the easy thing. But actually it's not. Someone who's living by faith, like doing what Moses said would be a piece of cake in one way, you know, those laws that are given. But faith is much, much more difficult, I would say, because it is not going by sight. I like Acts chapter 8 verse 37. Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, I think it is. The Ethiopian eunuch asked him, "What must I do to be? Can I be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." You know, that is so important, right? Just not like, you know, if you believe, but if you believe with all thine heart, that is a persuasion. You know, if someone is persuaded about something with all his heart, man, that person is going to be so different, I think. He is going to live by faith. He is going to please God. He is not going to be living in reactions of life. you know, the circumstances that is coming in. He is going to live in anticipation of this great reward that is coming on this earth. Then the other passage about Abraham's faith is in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Of course, this is these are the verses that people think that, you know, believing is that we don't have to work, right? That faith is apart from works. But I think this passage is talking about the works of the law. There are some works that are not of faith. Okay, to put it in our context, there are works that are not of faith, but that is what it is talking about when it says Abraham was not justified by works. In Romans chapter 4 verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found?" So verse 1, it tells us that pertaining to his flesh, I think it makes sense, and many believe that he is talking about that Abraham was not circumcised when he started living by faith, when he believed in the message that God gave him. Okay. "For if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. What says the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So we see here that Abraham was not justified by the things that he could do in his flesh. Okay. In this context, he's talking about that Abraham was not circumcised, because circumcision he received afterwards, after he was living a life of righteousness. And one says, of course, the law itself was not there. But even Abraham did not keep the laws of Moses. So Abraham was not circumcised. Abraham did not keep the laws of Moses. But very important, he lived by faith. And we just saw what faith was. Faith was not like Abraham thinks that this is a great idea to do, right? Or Abraham thinks this is how God is. But faith is believing in the specific message, the clear commandments of God, and obeying them. And then Abraham was counted as righteous. So the works of the flesh in the time, in the context of the book of Galatians, is the law. The laws of Moses, because those are the things that are not pleasing to God anymore. Okay. And in Abraham's context, you would say that Abraham did not live by his own whims and ideas. Okay. He obeyed what God told him specifically to do, and he showed faith towards God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." So we see here the no confidence in the flesh is connected with circumcision in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. So, you know, works, not all works are works of faith. Okay, not all works are works of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, those who believe that we just believe one time and get saved, they just stop at verse 9. They will just stop at verse 9. They will just quote verse 8 and 9 all the time, all the time. But how can I do that, right? All verses are equally important, right? How can you say that this is it? But verse 10 talks about good works. So in the same passage, there are works again mentioned in the context of salvation. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So, you know, works here is, he's specifically talking about how we became in Christ. How did we come in Christ? We did not come in Christ because we have done great things for God. We came in Christ because of Jesus Christ, right? We have believed his message. We have been baptized, and when we have become part of his church. So, becoming a part of the church and you know, accepting the message is not based on our merit. It's based on Jesus Christ's merit. And now when we live by faith in Jesus Christ, when we accept His message and we do what He's telling us to do, God gives us His grace for obedience. And that is how we have salvation. So salvation is not just the work of man. Okay, salvation is not just the work of man. When we have faith in his message, like Abraham had faith in his message, when we show persuasion, God gives us His power. God gives us His ability. That is so good. That is so great to understand, right? God gives us His ability to live a life that is pleasing to Him. You know, that is His grace. So salvation is, that is why salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift to those who live by faith, to those who are persuaded about His message, those who are believing on Him, and that is how grace is given, and that is how we are obeying His commandments. So salvation is not just based on man's work. It depends on Jesus Christ and God. Through Jesus Christ, it is only through Jesus Christ that we can inherit and enter the kingdom, right? That's why we are part of Christ's church. There is only one church through which there is salvation. So works, not all works are going to be, not all works are works of faith. Okay, there are works of iniquity that are done by people who profess to know God. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So they knew, they thought they knew God. Because they are calling Him Lord, Lord. And they thought that they did many wonderful works, but they were rejected. Their works were rejected. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. So for Paul, his own righteousness was of the law. Paul was a Jew. He was born and brought up in that tradition. So he's saying that if I keep those things, if I continue in those things, those are my own righteousness, and they are not the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So he does not want to have that righteousness. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Romans 10 verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So the nation of Israel at the time of Jesus Christ, who rejected Him, they rejected the faith of Jesus Christ. And they were establishing their own righteousness, and they were ignorant of God's righteousness. So that is the other thing, right? People can be just ignorant, and they just don't know. But it is sad that sometimes they just don't know, and sometimes even if they don't want to know, many of them, they don't want to know. And many, they come to realize it, and then they reject it for some reason. So now the work of God is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Messiah. In John chapter 6 verse 39, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe Him whom He has sent. So this is very clear. Now the work of God is to live by faith in Jesus Christ, right? And that is to obey all His commandments that He has given to us directly and through the apostles. Now Abraham, though he did not have works of the flesh, he had works of faith. That is very clear in James chapter 2 verse 20. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So James gives us a very clear understanding of what faith is, right? Faith is not just saying that I believe one time. Faith is also has works, and if I just say I believe and I don't act on it, then my faith is dead. And notice in verse 21, it tells us the works of Abraham. That was works of faith. What was his works of faith? He offered up Isaac upon the altar. Right? That is his works of faith. So why did he offer Isaac on the altar? Because he was persuaded on by the promises of God, that God will fulfill his promise and that Isaac is the chosen son. And God will have to raise him back to life to fulfill his promise. Also, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. So Abraham just didn't say, okay, I know God will give me the will fulfill the promise, and God can raise anyone, right? You know, he was so persuaded about the resurrection that he was willing to kill his son, because he knew God will have to raise him back from the dead, because he knew the promises of God. But probably if he didn't know the promise, he may have not offered up Isaac, right? Because the promises of God gave him the power and the will and the strength to do what he did. Then in verse 8, so just like Abraham will inherit the coming kingdom because of faith. And faith is what? Faith is believing in what God has said and then acting on it. Then in verse 8, and the scriptures was fulfilled that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So now he is telling to us, just like Abraham lived by faith, if you want to be the son of Abraham, if you want to be the seed of Abraham, you also have to live by faith, like Abraham. You don't have to keep the laws of Moses, and you don't have to live under the Old Testament, but you have to live by faith. In Romans chapter 4 verse 14, and if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Therefore, it is of faith. It is of faith is the heirship, or the rulership in the coming kingdom, that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise may be sure to all the seed. All the seed is Jew and Gentile, not to that only which is of the law, that is the Jews, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So even now the promise is by faith, and now we have to live by faith in Jesus Christ, in the message of Jesus Christ. So it's not the promise. If the promise was of the law, so he's again giving an argument that following the law is not the truth; it's disobedience. But following the faith of Jesus Christ, that is the truth, because that is how Abraham was justified. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 29, it tells us how we can be the seed of Abraham. If you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. So now we become Abraham's seed or Abraham's son, not through being born a Jew, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? And we know to be in Christ is to be baptized in Christ and to be in covenant with him through the church. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 24, this is how those who are in Christ, this is how they live, and we can recognize them by their lifestyle. And they which are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So just like Jesus Christ lived a crucified life, all through his life he laid down his life for God, and he obeyed the commandments of God. Now those who are Christ will live like him, right? So they also have crucified the flesh. They are not living for this world. and for the lusts of this world. They are dead to this world, and they are living for the coming kingdom. They are living for obedience and pleasing and being pleasing to the Father. The faith was always the criteria to serve God. Faith is not something which was new that Paul was preaching. Even in the nation of Israel, there are many verses, many passages where the nation of Israel did not have faith. Though the word faith does not come in, at least in the English Bibles that we read, believe, that they did not believe God, comes many times. Okay, so of course, believe is another word for faith. So all through the scriptures, not just for Abraham, and also for the New Testament, in all through the scriptures, people of God were told to live by faith in God. And faith is what? To believe in the message. Okay, to believe in the message that he's preaching. Maybe sometimes he would preach them directly, but through the prophets. To believe in that and to live a life and to make decisions in their own life based on that message. Listen to a couple of these passages. In Deuteronomy 1 verse 30, "The Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, whereof thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bore thee as a man does bear his son, in all the way that you went till you came into this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God." So this is quite wild, right? Like, God did so many things in front of their eyes. Great miracles. Of course, we have not seen miracles. That's why maybe Jesus said that blessed are those who don't see but yet believe. This generation saw miracles right in front of their eyes. But it says, yet they did not believe the Lord your God. In 2 Kings 17 verse 13, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers. And when I sent to you my servants, the prophets, notwithstanding they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant and that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them." So God sent prophets, God sent messengers to the nation of Israel all through the history of Israel, but they did not believe them. They did not believe them. In fact, they went after other gods. They followed vanity and became vain. This is in one way so interesting. Like, we tend to go after vain things. I don't know why, but maybe that is more pleasurable in this life. But they went after vain things, and all that is not of faith is vain, right? Things of this world, they are vain. In Chronicles chapter 20 verse 20, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." So believe was so many times mentioned in the history of Israel. Of course, they did not believe, they lived in unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, it says, For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it tells me that hearing is one thing and faith is something else. We have to mix faith with what we hear. We have to mix faith, and that is what will please God. When we are persuaded of these things, when we act on these things, that is what will please God. And we see here that the same gospel was preached to the people of Israel, but they did not mix faith with it. And when we don't mix faith, when we are not persuaded about the truth, you know, we don't have the power of God. That is how power of God comes. It is through act believing, being persuaded of this message that God is preaching to us. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." So if we want to have the power of God that will give us the salvation in the coming kingdom, we have to mix faith with what we hear. And it is not going to be easy, because we ourselves are sight driven, right? But you know, there are the devil is going to hinder people from living by faith. He's going to do all that he can to prevent people from living by faith. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." And this is supernatural. This is also supernatural. When people are not interested in the truth, when people are interested in vain things, you know, the devil is working on them. And we know that, how did the devil tempt Eve? He questioned the message, right? Has God really said this? Has God really said this? And the devil will tempt us by not mix faith with what we hear, by saying, "Has God really said this? Is this really God's message?" This is Satan's. This is how Satan is blinding people's mind, and people are not using their mind. Plain and simple, right? So Satan, I think, is doing all that he can to prevent people from using their minds. People want to just live a non-thinking life, that like we heard on Sunday's message. And people are becoming more and more like that, right? They're becoming more and more dumb. Now, I read one quote a couple of days back. A person said that we live in an age of smartphones and stupid people. It's so true in one sense, right? Smartphones and stupid people. And it is true, you know, in this age, computers are doing most of the thinking. If you think about it, computers have become so smart. They can do so many things. And people are becoming dumber. Because they're making the computers to do everything for them. Maybe that is one of the reasons. But we should not be like that. You know, we should always have our mind focused and attentive, and not be distracted by the distractions that maybe Satan will give us. Because through our mind we can evaluate, and we can think. Through our mind we can believe in the message, the true message of God. And it is, if we apply our mind, faith will be so easy, I think. Like, if we really sit down and calculate and evaluate, these things are true, right? If these things are not true, then it doesn't make sense. But if we really apply our mind, we will be persuaded that, yeah, really, this world is evil, and this world is passing away, and yes, everyone is dying, and there has to be a resurrection. You know, there has to be a day of recompense. The Creator will have to take an account. I mean, that's very a natural thing to think about. The one who has created, the one who owns this universe, you think he's going to let someone else, you know, run the show? Of course, one day he will take charge of the things that he has created. So when we apply our mind, we can be persuaded, and we will live by faith. But the devil is very active in not making people evaluate and use their mind. So in closing, in Jude chapter 1 verse 3, this message has been delivered to us, and you know, it is now our duty to contend for it, and to keep the truth, and to guard it. This is our duty. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So we have been delivered the message. We have been given the complete revelation. And now this verse is telling us that we have to actively contend for it. We have to guard the truth so that we can have faith and so that we can please God in this life.